Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is Medium Insights and your normal host, Roman Karpyshka, is feeling under the weather. We wish him a speedy recovery and hopefully he'll be back next month. But in the meantime, I'm Tom Gould and I will be your host this evening. We are fortunate to have a wonderful medium by the name of Nancy Marlowe as our guest. Nancy is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and the Winbridge Institute. She was knew that she was psychic when she was very young, but put those abilities aside and had a career for 20 years as a day trader until a horrible accident happened, and she was saved by an angel and rededicated her life to the spiritual pursuits. So let's welcome Nancy to the program. Nancy, how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Glad to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. Well, let's start right in. Why don't you elaborate a little bit on this story of your accident that brought upon this change?
Well, I was in an accident all of a sudden, like accidents are all of a sudden, they just come out of the blue, and I was hit from behind by a Brinks armored truck, and doctors didn't expect me to live, and I had some very specialized surgery, and when I woke up, my doctor was standing over me and he said, Nancy, we don't know why you're alive. We don't know how you even got here to see us, because it was really, really bad. And your disc was pressing up against your spinal column. And when we did the surgery, we didn't know how you were walking around. And so when I first saw the doctor before the surgery, and he told me how serious it was. He told me to get my affairs in order, and because I might not come out of it. So I heard a voice tell me, just out of the blue, I could hear it as perfectly as I can hear you. And it was a deep, confident voice. It was a male voice. And it said, Nancy, don't worry about any of this. You're going to be okay. And it was so life-affirming that I knew, just the sound of the voice and the way it was spoken and how clear it was, I knew I would be okay. And I went through the surgery, and then when I woke up, the doctor said, you should be dead or quadriplegic. We don't know how this is a miracle. We don't know how you're even here, but you are here. And it took me 2 years to recover from that accident. I had to go through a lot to recover, but that voice never left me. And I was just, I was a single mother with raising two children. I wasn't anybody special, but I had somebody special looking over me. And I could hear them, I could feel them, I could sense them in the room with me. I would wake up and be frightened or maybe be in pain as I was healing and going through things. You still have some pain. And I would like look around or feel around. Are you still here? Are you here? It became my companion for 2 years, this energy. And it gave me hope. And it it told me I was going to be all right. And it was a connection that I never discussed with anybody. It was for me. And after I survived that accident, part of the recovery period is I started getting every spiritual book that I could get and reading them and saying, okay, there's a reason that I'm here. Why am I here? Okay. And meanwhile, as I was reading these books, my intuition, my psychic abilities, they just exploded. I knew things, and I knew that they were real. I really started seeing spirits and feeling them. It was really wonderful. One thing about that really horrific incident in my life, it gave me a faith, knowing that not me, not any one of us is ever alone, that there are spirits and beings, and we have people or entities and that look over us and that love us. You're never alone. You always have help, even when you don't ask for it. And it appears out of nowhere, just like this one did for me. You're not alone. I'm here. You're going to be okay. And I carried that faith forward, and I'm okay. I survived that.
That's fantastic and great to hear, and wonderful that you have opened up a world of wonder in the service that you're doing. We have some people have written in some questions that they are interested in, and this one struck me pretty heavily. We just got it in about an hour ago, and it's a woman who has read a book about your soul's plan and that you choose to come back in this life, or not come back, but you choose the life that you are living. And as I didn't mention at the first, I should mention that Nancy is also an author. She has a book called Let Your Soul Shine. And our listener may want to check that one out. But just briefly, her life reads like a movie. She says she's experienced extreme poverty as a child. I've been robbed at gunpoint as an adolescent. My brother committed suicide, and just recently my son was murdered. And she wants to know why this is useful to you. That if you're, why would you choose a life with so much struggle, and what can she learn from that? Is it something she'll know in this realm, or does she have to wait until she gets to the other side to understand why all of this has happened to her? I imagine a lot of people come to you with that "why me" kind of thing.
Yes. We all struggle. We all have horrific things that happen to you in your life, something you certainly wouldn't choose if you knew about it. But before you entered that body, you knew about that. I am not connected to any spiritual organization. I'm more spiritual, but I do have some familiarity with the Bible. And Jesus Christ knew that if he came to earth, he would be crucified. He knew that before he came. Mm-hmm. And that's in the Bible. But and there's books in the Bible, Job, why me, God, why me, God, why me, God. This woman has been through some terrible things that are hard to get over. And that's part of the reason that I wrote the little book I did, to let you know that you're not alone when you go through these things. When we come back to earth from heaven and we reincarnate into a body, we're here back on earth to learn. And these horrible things that we go through help our soul grow and learn. And when we go back to heaven, we work toward becoming more like our Creator, more like God, more filled with love, with more understanding. We work toward becoming love. That's what our Creator is pure love. Why do they happen? I was just going to say, why do they happen? I don't know. That's the age-old question. Why me? The thing is to understand that everybody goes through really bad things in their life, and you're not by yourself. You ask for help to have another day, to grow, to learn, and you try to be an inspiration to others. That's a really hard question. I've been through it myself, and I could go down the line and start adding them up, all the things. And I don't really know the answer, except that I know that we keep repeating our lives to grow and become more like the Creator who created us. And we grow through experience so we can have better understanding and compassion for other people.
You know, I read in your bio that you have done work with the police, helping to solve crimes.
Yeah.
And it brings me to a question that we got here, saying that that in this situation that you're dealing with the energies of very bad people in a lot of ways. This person says that she would like to know about more negative or evil entities and spirits. It's a popular topic on TV show. Is there any truth to the existence of evil entities? And what is the nature of the so-called negative entities?
Okay. Unfortunately, and I hesitate to say it, but there are negative energies. They, again, are different entities. A negative energy can simply be a really bad person, an evil person. And when they die, their soul is evil and nasty, and it hasn't actually gone. It can either go to the other side, and it's being helped by the people we learn from. When we die, our purpose is to go to the other side. And on the other side, we have teachers. And we go according to what we need to learn. It's like going to school. You go to grade 1, grade 2, grade 3. Well, these negative energies always end up in level 1. And occasionally they escape back to Earth. These negative people that were real people on Earth. And they're horrible. And you can run into them, and you can feel their nastiness, and they want to take over your space. They want to frighten you. And so those are just bad people that end up on Earth, okay? Right. So, yes, they're real. And then there are entities that don't have a form. There's just dark energy. You can feel it and sense it, and it's a foreboding. And then there are really... This doesn't sound real, but it is. There really are entities that don't look like us, and they're scary looking, and they want to, again, it's like a power trip. I want your space. I want to control you. I want to frighten you. And so, yes, they are out there. But you also have to understand that you are a soul. You are light. Light is stronger than darkness. Anytime you sense anything evil, you have the power to tell it to leave. You just say, get out of here, leave, get away. You can't hurt me. I don't accept you. And you command it. You take command of anything evil that's frightening you or trying to scare you. Okay? So I don't want people to be afraid of negativity or evil or bad energy. Just know that you don't want to be around it because you're light. And if it threatens you, you tell it to get away from you in no uncertain terms. You take control. And once you've done that a few times, you're not so scared of it if it pops up. It very rarely comes around me anymore because I meditate every day, and I ask during that meditation to be surrounded by the light and love of God and know, affirm that I am surrounded with help and love and protection. And so I live in that throughout the day. And if something should come into my arena, I just tell it to get out of here. I try to ignore it. A really strong, powerful energy will follow you around and try to scare you. And you just, again, it's taking control. Get away from me. Don't come back. And they leave. They can't threaten you. They can't hurt you. And so it's no fun anymore. They leave.
Now, in the same light, someone also said that if they were abused by somebody in this life,
right,
when they cross over, are they going to have to be with those people again, the energies of them?
No, they don't have to. They might see them there, okay? But where one person is on a certain level, we'll go back to school again, someone's in the 12th grade, they're going to know more than someone in the second grade, okay? So, no, when you're abused, say you're abused, when you go to heaven or crossover, you might see them there, but they have to learn different lessons than you have to learn because you in this life may have been more compassionate and kind to people and been like your creator, which is love. To spread love, to be better on this earth, to make this a better place. That's what our purpose is. People who say, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? Your purpose is to be kind and spread love. No, you don't have to deal with them. You are in you're separate soul from those people that hurt you. You're separate. And they're going to go to one place of learning, and you're going to go to another place of learning. So no, you don't have to live that same old thing again.
Yeah, and also I've witnessed many, many readings, mediumistic readings, and many, many times an entity will come through, a spirit will come through that was an abusive father or something like that. And most of the time, they'll come back to apologize. So
exactly.
That person probably has learned something from their life. That when they cross over, they're ashamed of, or they retract on that. So hopefully this person who has asked this question will find an entirely different situation on the other side. I was curious. I've been reading one of Raymond Moody's books about near-death experience. Did you actually have an NDE? It sounds like you had an NDE with the angel talking to you, but did you have any of the classic NDE experience with your accident?
I don't know how to answer that. I blacked out momentarily when at the impact, and I went into shock as it happened. And so I don't know how to say I died and went to heaven. I just know that when I was away from the accident and went to see the doctor the first time, so I was behaving like, you know, any other person would. But the angel came then. The angel came then. So I don't know. I have spoken several times, you know, to the organization, the near-death organization, and I've been asked that same question. And I don't know. I feel like an angel was there, but I don't know because I went through shock and blacked out momentarily. So I don't remember anything other than that. I just remember when I went to the doctor, it was there. It was talking to me and stayed with me.
Yeah. In fact, in the book, they talk about why I bring it up is in relation to this question that people report who have had NDEs that when they get there, they immediately have a life review and they see their entire life.
Yes.
The important thing is that they see what they have done to other people.
Yes.
And feel how those people felt when that was done to them, where if they're loving and compassionate, you feel the love and compassion. But if you were nasty to somebody, you will feel how bad that felt. And so coming back from the NDE, people tend to be a lot more compassionate and loving than they were before. So again, for that person who asked the question about their abuser, their abuser is going to know what it's like to be abused. And hopefully that will make things better for everyone on the other side.
Well, I've done many, many readings, and over the years, I've been doing this for 25 years, and the people who acted really, they're sorry for what they have done. And yes, I see it. I'm a clairvoyant. So when I communicate with the dead, they talk to me, they show me pictures, I get feelings and that sort of thing. It is very, very common for somebody. Well, we all have this life review. We look back and say, oh my gosh, did I do that? Oh my gosh. And oh, I'm so ashamed of that. Oh, I understand how bad that must have been for that. Oh, I am deeply ashamed if I could take that. There are so many readings that I've done where they come back and they apologize. They want you to know how sorry they are. They want you to know they love you. Okay. So this whoever asked that question is right on about, from my experiences, about what happens. We know what we did. It's like you wake up, even this applies to suicides. People who commit suicide, they have a life review. They see how they understand themselves, how much pain they were in mentally. They get a big picture deal of what was making them feel so bad. But they also get the big picture of how it's making their loved ones feel, what it has done to them, and they're ashamed of themselves for having done that. And many suicides come back and apologize to their loved ones. Some people can't help it. They are so depressed, or, you know, they can't. It's sad. It's really sad, suicides are. But they see what has happened, and they wish they wouldn't have done it, because if they had only waited another day or another week or read the right book or run into the right people, their life would have been different. That wouldn't have been something they felt like was necessary to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
I also forgot to mention at the beginning of the program, this is Medium Insights, where we're asking questions about mediumship and being a medium. There will be no readings in tonight's show, but if you have a question out there that you would like to ask Nancy, you can call us at 888-627-6008. Another question that came in is this person said, I saw my mother's spirit leave her body when she passed. It was a mist rise up and out. How common is this, and why would I see this when no other family members did? Also, when she was passing, she was slightly covering her eyes as if to shade them from a light.
Okay. Yes, it's common to see them rise from their body. Yes, that's very common. It's also very common for the people who have newly crossed to come back and have a visitation within a couple of days, usually within 2 or 3 days. They will usually come and stand at the end of your bed. Many times after they have just crossed, they might live in another state. You'll see them standing. You'll wake up in the middle of the night. They're standing at the end of your bed. They're coming to say goodbye. These are people who usually deeply love you, your parents or your husband or your lover or your child. They deeply love you. And they come and they want to say, I'm dead. I've crossed. I've transitioned. I'm dead. I love you. I'm here. I won't, you know, and they'll hang around. These new crossings, they'll hang around until after the body is honored with a funeral of some sort or memorial. And that's when they start actually leaving Earth and going back to the other side.
Another one writes in, which is probably, you probably just answered that with this, but she said that her father passed away in 2013. And the day before the wake, she was sitting in her room, and all of a sudden there were lights, bright lights floating around her, just sit in her lap. And it actually frightened her, and she ran out of the room. But then now she's wondering, well, you know, what did that mean? And as you said, I think that it's her father coming to visit her.
Yes, and to love her. This spirit was actually getting physically close to her in her lap. You can actually, a lot of people, I experience this with spirits, will touch you. They might, I see this all the time in readings, a husband will come back and he will kiss his wife goodnight. She's lying in the bed and I can see him kiss her goodnight. It was probably part of their, and I usually say, did he kiss you goodnight every night before you went to sleep? Yes. So, yes, I do think it does feel like that these lights were the spirit coming back. I love you. I'm here. See me. Spirits come back in all kinds of different ways. It can be a breath of wind. They can crack mirrors in your house. They like to play with electronics and televisions and telephones and computers. They'll turn your lights on and off, or they'll flicker lights. They do all sorts of things. You find things. I used to find heart-shaped objects.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that brings me up to another question. This person writes, my daughter passed away 3 years ago, and for the last 2 years, she has given me so many signs of her being around me. I don't know what level of enlightenment she's on or what's keeping her so busy lately, but she's been silent and very quiet. I keep asking her for a sign and will give her specific requests, like to show me a feather or things she frequently showed me before. I'm struggling with why she has not responded, and I'm feeling like she has forgotten me. My question is, if she decides or has already decided to reincarnate, does her soul still exist, or does her soul transfer into the reincarnated body?
Well, that's two questions. Actually, has she forgotten me? Why isn't she coming around? I get that question all the time. Mm. That's a very common question, for me at least, that I get a lot. Tell her, or if you're listening, your daughter has not forgotten you. She loves you. She will always love you. She's a separate soul than you are. And she comes around, she came around so much at first because you needed that. You were in a really strong grief period. You needed that confirmation. Yes, you're here. I see you. I feel you. You're doing these things. I know that you're here with me. But there comes a time, and it depends on the soul that has crossed over. They are going to become very, very busy in the new plane of existence that they're in. They're going to be going to school. They're going to be learning about how to grow their own soul. Each soul always remains that one individual soul. There is no other soul anywhere like you. You are special. You are unique. Nothing else. It's like snowflakes. Each soul is different. So on the other side, she's learning. She's going to school. She's traveling. She's happy seeing all the beauty of the other side. And it doesn't mean she's forgotten you, that she's broken away. She will come back and visit you and check on you. Okay, she's not totally gone, but remember, she's separate than you. And once she crossed into that other plane, there are going to be other souls grabbing at her for for her attention, to teach her, to be her companion, to reunite with her. And as far as reincarnation, again, it's that same soul, because it's unique, that reincarnates into the other body, okay? You never quit being you, which is the soul that you are. You're unique.
Yes, and I've read these books, the Seth Speaks books. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's a spirit who's channeling. And Seth explains that your soul is, it, as you say, is you, but it has tentacles. And one tentacle can be living in 17th century England. One tentacle could be living here in the United States, and all at the same time, so that the soul that is your loved one is there and will meet you when you cross.
Yes.
But simultaneously, they can be a child in Utah right
now. Yes, and there are, there's been a lot of television shows. Netflix has some of them. And there is a researcher, Jim Tucker, who talks about children who have reincarnated and they remember their last life. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's the same soul in different bodies at different times. And the afterlife and this earth life that we live in, it's very interesting. I don't understand it. I just see it happening, and I just know this is real. It's like two planes of existence, and they're just melting back and forth into each other. And time varies, too, between these two planes. It's really, I wish I understood it more. Some of the things that I see, I know were part of Einstein's beliefs about time and energy. So your daughter, if this is the little girl that crossed and has stopped coming over, your daughter can be all over the place between this time and plane of existence, the future and the past, all at the same time. That soul can be melding. It's like dripping into, and you know, one, you seeing a color fade down into another color, into another color. It's amazing.
It is amazing. We have a caller who'd like to ask a question. Sure. We have Monisha on line two. Monisha, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, what would you like to ask Nancy?
So, hi, Nancy. I heard a lot of, I just tuned in, and I think you kind of touched on a lot of, you know, the confusion in my brain. I've lost, you know, a bunch very close, and it's been 8 months, but it feels like yesterday, and you know, I've been reading and I've been listening to this show, and obviously I don't have any answers. But, you know, they say the person gets, the soul is eternal. The soul either obtains, you know, freedom and resides with God in heaven, or gets reincarnated. And, you know, one day you'll meet your loved one. But how, I don't know if anyone has answers, but how would you meet your loved one if you passed at another time and your loved one is reincarnated? I just feel like I'm, you know, overanalyzing, and, you know, I used to get a lot of dreams where, you know, it's basically my dad. I got a lot of dreams after he passed, and in every dream he said to me, you know what, I'm not in pain, I'm okay. And he looked really good. He looked really fresh. Not that he looked bad, because his passing was very unexpected and very all of a sudden, and, you know, it was literally in a span of like 36 hours. So I don't know if, you know, my dad was a good person, a very good person, like the respect that he has gotten from even strangers, and very God-fearing. So I just question, like, how is he? Where is he? Why isn't he coming my dream again? He sees me cry. Am I bothering him? You know, I talk to him, like, all the time. And, you know, sometimes when life is really tough, I look up in the sky and I say, you know, I guess you are in a better place because you don't have to deal with the riffraff of of life, because life is not easy.
Okay. Your voice is not coming through as well, so it's kind of broken up. Could you tell me what her main questions are?
I think the major one was two that we've kind of discussed already, but that when she passes, she's afraid that he'll already have reincarnated and then won't meet her on the other side. And part of that was, well, how do I find him on the other side? The answer to that is he'll be waiting there for you. So you don't have to worry about that part of it. She wants to know if he will still meet her, and also that he came in dreams. He's not coming in dreams so much, which is very similar to the last question.
Yeah.
So that's what she was asking.
Well, it's very common. The number one way that spirits communicate with us is through our dreams. And if you ever have a dream that's realistic and they've talked to you and you felt like they were there, you can believe they were there. Okay. When you're asleep, your brain changes and you become relaxed. It's not asking a million questions. And so that's the easiest way for them to contact. So she can believe that he really did contact her in her dreams. Again, as you said, that he's not doing that as much anymore. That's because he's getting on with his other life. It doesn't mean he's forgotten you. And also, because he, even if he reincarnates, does not mean that his soul in that other body won't know that you are crossing over. And the soul can travel in and out of the bodies, okay? So I've done so many readings of people that are in the hospital or hospice, and I can see their body is not dead yet. They're still alive, but their soul has already started crossing and contacting. I can see their spirits of the people they loved in the room with them. I've done reading for a woman whose father died, and before he left, there were hearts on the wall above him that he managed to get there. Messages of love after he died. People sometimes get really, really sick. They get in the hospital and their body is really weak and it can't hold the soul. The soul will be going back and forth, and you'll see people saying, "Oh, hi, Mom. How are you doing?" when Mom's been dead 10 years. "Oh, by the way, Daddy came back last night." Okay. The people that they love are already there in that hospital room waiting for them. Okay, she doesn't have to worry. She'll be found no matter where they are, and she won't have to go by herself. Okay,
you know, I get very sorrowful and I cry a lot.
Well, sure.
I mean, does that make him sad?
Would you say?
Well, she says she cries a lot, and she's afraid that it might make him sorry. Which crying because you love him, and that love he feels. So don't think that you're making him sad because you're loving him. And it's hard to imagine because I might mention, you know, this, we are eternal beings. Our souls are eternal. We live forever.
Yes.
We are here in the physical world for maybe 100 years, if we're lucky, maybe 20 years or even less. It's a blink of an eye when you're talking about the soul. So your father, who's recently gone to the other side, knows that in the scheme of eternity, you're going to be together in a blink of an eye. So, and a lot of times when spirit pulls back, as you say, and doesn't, they don't want you to get dependent.
No.
What they want is to see you live your life, your physical life, while you're here. And then you will all hook up again later. I'm sorry to answer for you, Nancy, but.
No, you did a great job. That's exactly right.
And thank you for the call. Oh, I'm sorry.
What? I'm sorry, just really quick, you know, with since this has happened, I listen to prayers and I take a walk in the evening, and somehow when I look at the sun, the sun's rays and the sun, like I take a lot of pictures because I feel like a very strong energy from the sun coming to me. So if anyone asks me, oh, you know, where are you? I'm like, you know what? I'm taking a walk. It's my connection with my dad. And I feel so strongly, you know, about my dad that I feel like this vibration through my body when I connect with the sun every day on my evening walks. Is there something about that, maybe? Or am I just imagining?
No, definitely. And Nancy, do you want to...
Well, you know, the sun is very powerful energy, and we are beings made of light. We're light energy. And, you know, the Egyptians worship the sun, okay? So people have had a connection to that powerful energy for a long, long time. And at one point, years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I was meditating, and I said, okay, God, I know you're there. I know you're there, but will you show yourself to me? Can I see you? And God, or our creator, it showed itself. And it was the most brilliant yellow-white light I have ever seen. And it had so much energy, it was almost unbearable. But the energy that I was receiving from this bright yellow sun was love. I have never felt so much love. It just permeated me, every cell of my body, and I started crying. And it was so intense. Yeah. I said, thank you. I can't do this anymore. It was overwhelming. So to me, when I asked to see it, it looked like the sun. And it loved me more than I've never felt loved like that before. So I think you're picking up something that's entirely natural to human beings that are spiritual and are very sensitive and connecting. You're picking up light energy that does love you and that will give you power. So congratulations to you. You found a way to make yourself feel better. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monisha, for the call. Hopefully that was helpful. We have Fabiola from New York on line one. Fabiola, are you still there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Can you guys hear me well?
Yes, we hear you very well. What would you like to ask Nancy?
Okay, so I actually have three questions, if it's okay. Yeah. So the first one is, Nancy, when you see the spirits, do you have any reactions in your body in the afterwards? Like, do you get tired or hungry or sleepy? That's one question. And the other one is, what do you do to, you know, to protect your own energy?
Okay.
And I have two more. Should I ask them now or wait?
Well, let me ask them one at a time because I'll forget them.
Yes. Okay.
Let's start with the first one. And your... do I get tired or do I feel anything with my own body?
Or hungry,
yes, I get tired.
Right.
When I connect with spirit, I feel they connect with me through giving me feelings, especially one way that they identify themselves is how they died. And if they couldn't breathe, I can feel it. I can't breathe. If they were depressed, I'm overwhelmed with depression. If they had pain, I get a sense of pain. So I do experience what they experienced when they died. Also, it takes a lot of energy, and to hold your energy and focus on that spirit takes a lot of my own energy. And most of the, I'm in another group called Windbridge, and we were tested, we were asked a questionnaire, do any of you have autoimmune diseases? And every one of us do. Some kind of autoimmune disease. So the question, does it affect me? Yes, it does. And I do have to limit reading. I love doing it, but I can't do one. I can do two or three or four right together, and then I'm tired. I'm so tired. And when I was working on murder cases or cold cases or trying to find a murderer or find somebody who's been butchered to death, I see and sense and feel the dead person being killed. And they'll come in my dreams, they'll come in my house, and I feel all that, and it's very tiring. So, yes, mm-hmm. it takes a great deal of energy for them to connect with me, and it takes a great deal of my energy to mm-hmm. maintain to maintain that connection with them. Oh, they pop in all the time. They know I can see them and hear them, and they want to communicate, and I'll just be walking into my backyard, and there'll be two or three people standing back there. I don't know them, but they want to say, hey, 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 tell my mother, hey, hey, hey. And I have to go, I'm not working right now. I'm sorry. Go home. Go away. You know, no, I'm not doing that right now. So, mm-hmm. man, so yes, I feel them, and they do affect your energy. Now, what was your second question?
The second question was, what do you do to take care of yourself, of your energy, to recuperate, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I meditate every day. I talk to our Creator every day, and I get that reassurance that I am loved, I am protected. I pull that golden light. I'm sure you've heard this before, more than likely. It's very common among mediums. You imagine yourself in a golden light bubble, and it's just mm-hmm. all around you. It's all around your home. It's protecting your home. It's protecting the car you're driving in or the airplane you're on. But it protects you and loves you. So that is the number one thing that I do to keep myself healthy and mentally feeling good. Because when you're dealing with a lot of death and sorrow, it takes a lot out of you. But when I connect with God and know I'm eternal, everybody's eternal, that we're protected and loved, everything's going to be all right. It's like that old song, hey, everything's going to be all right. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes, very much so. I do have one more, actually two more, if it's okay. The next one is, do you see the living?
Do I see what?
The living, people who are alive. Do you see their spirits? Do their spirits come to you? Is that something common?
I see when someone doesn't have enough life energy in their body, because that's another thing I get all the time in readings. Mm. My loved one is in the hospital. Can you tell when they're going to cross? Are they in hospice? Can you tell? Time is very hard to tell, but I can say, no, I can't give you an exact time, but I can tell you right now, I see it's like the light on a candle. I can see that light starting to flicker and wave. I can feel the energy, the life energy in the body getting weaker and weaker. I sense that, but I have mm-hmm. seen people whose life energy was so low, it's like turning down the volume, it's gotten so low, the light's about to go out, and you think, oh, they're going to cross any time. They won't last through morning. That person will live another 2 weeks. It depends on the soul. And you can kind of bargain with God or the Creator right before you die, like, I really want to see my daughter graduate. Can I just hang on for that? You'll see them. They'll hang on for a little while. So does that answer your question?
You. Yes. And okay. The next one, if it's okay, one more. Have you ever encountered an experience where a spirit could actually tell you a little bit about the future? Or it's mostly, you know, messages and consoling the ones who were here, who they left behind?
I've had spirits tell me during a reading that, oh, your son's getting married next month, and I want you to know I'm going to be here. I will be at that wedding. I will be there. Or, oh, your birthday is coming up, and I'm going to be there when you cut the cake. Okay? I've had spirits do that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yes.
And can I ask the last question? Last, promise?
Yes,
can you talk a little bit? Thank you. Can you talk
questions.
A little bit about soulmates? Do soulmates come into spirits? Do they present to you? Do they their energy or soul? Do you believe that? Like, have you heard of it, or is it known to you? The soulmates, or you know, that they come to you, or they come to you in your dreams.
Are you talking about a lover or someone, you know, a romantic partner?
Someone you haven't even met, like a soulmate, someone who, like a twin flame or a partner or a longing spirit that you might have had, you know, encounter for many, many lives before this one.
I don't know about the soulmates and about the dreaming or anything. I haven't experienced that. What I have experienced is seeing a stranger, somebody I absolutely do not know, and I know that person. I recognize them. I feel comfortable with them. I come up and I feel like I could tell them anything and they would still love me or accept me. I just felt a deep, deep connection to people I don't even know quite often. And I've had people come up to me and they would come up and they'd say, I know you. And I say, you do? Oh, yeah. You used to be my teacher. And I'll say, what did I look like? And they'll describe a woman that is not me. Well, when was this? Oh, this was like 2,000 years ago, and we were in Greece, and you were my teacher. So I have that a lot, where people, I know who you are, you know, and I go, oh, okay. So that.
Thank you.
Yes. I hope I answered all your questions. You were
delightful.
Yes,
you did. Thank you so much, Nancy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Fabiola. Those were great questions. We really enjoyed your call. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Just a couple minutes left. I just want to talk a little bit again about your book, Let Your Soul Shine. First of all, how can people get a copy? And when did you write it? What inspired you?
Well, they can get a copy on Amazon. It's a book that I wrote, and it talks a lot about my own life because that's what I understand and know, my own experiences. But I wrote it because when you're doing readings, I do not only mediumship readings, I do psychic readings, but people don't realize how much they're loved and how special they are. And it's kind of hopeful, and I've had reviews with people saying it was inspirational. But I've had so many people who they don't feel worthy. They don't feel like they're worth anything, that they're nothing, or they're in a bad situation that they can't seem to get out of. And I just wanted people to know they're not alone, they're loved, and they are unique, and they can make this world a better place. So that's what that book is for.
Yeah, that's tremendous. I guess it's the only book you've written so far. Is that correct?
I actually have about four. They're already written. They need to be edited. So they're on different subjects. Yeah. There's so many stories. When you do this work, you talk to so many people, and there's so many stories and so many questions to answer. But, yeah, I've got a file cabinet full of them.
Well, that's tremendous.
So.
Well, you've been such a delight to talk to. I'm glad to get to meet you cyberly. and hopefully someday we'll be at a grief retreat or a convention or something together and I can meet you in person. But it's great to have you on board with the Forever Family Foundation. I really appreciate all that you do. Any last parting words you want to send out there? You've been so eloquent so far.
Oh, thank you. I just want to tell everybody that's listening, I love you. And the Creator loves you, and you're not alone, and you're special. And thank you so much for listening.
Oh, thank you for talking with us, Sue. It's been great. And with that, we're going to close with the statement that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
Yeah.
Science is going to prove it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.